Praise the Lord. The title of today's message is Strength to Sustain. Amen. Strength to Sustain. You know, this Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover and Unleavened Bread, is all about taking in Yeshua.
Amen.
Taking in the bread of life. Please turn to Psalm 119 to 175. Did we come from a glorious Passover or what?
Amen, brother.
I'm telling you, I'm going to get into that later because there's just so much to share. I thank God for His move among us. He is mighty among us. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 119, 175. Let me live that I may praise You, and may Your laws sustain me. Let me live. You know, He is our life. And it says that I may praise You. We were created to worship God. You know, in Him we live and move and have our being. We have to, God allows us to live. Without Him we have no life.
Amen.
And without Him we can do nothing. Amen. Apart from Him we can do nothing. That's also in the Word. We're going to look at another scripture. Twice in this next scripture, God uses the word sustain. Please turn to Isaiah, chapter 46. Isaiah 46. And we're going to read verse 4. This is kind of a personal thing to me because I have gray hair. There are some of us in the room that have gray hair. Praise the Lord. The Bible says it's our glory. And it's showing that He's bringing to pass Psalm 91, verse 16. With long life will I satisfy You and show You My salvation.
Hallelujah.
And He's about to show us, folks. He's coming back the way He ascended. And we are to be looking up. He's a lifter of our heads, our hope, our future, and our all. He's our all God. He is all-sustaining God, all-powerful. Omnipotent. That means all-powerful. Hallelujah. Isaiah 46, verse 4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you.
Hey, hallelujah.
Is that a good scripture or what?
Hallelujah.
That's my scripture for this year, I'm telling you what. It shows you that He sustains you in our old age. And He is the God who continues to sustain us. He carries us. And in the end, He will rescue us. He's coming soon to take us to be with Him. And the new Jerusalem that's coming down. Hallelujah. New heaven and new earth. Praise the Lord. The holy days of unleavened bread symbolize God's sustaining power. This feast of unleavened bread and Passover shows us God's sustaining power. Let's look at the command in the Word of God to celebrate unleavened bread. I can't leave that out since this is the seventh day, the last day of unleavened bread. Leviticus 23, verses 5 through 8. Leviticus 23, 5 through 8. The Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. Begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. That's a command, folks. From what I understand, must means a command. If you want to live, you must take in Yeshua. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present an offering made to the Lord by fire. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. That's where we're at today. We're on the seventh day. We're holding a sacred assembly. We brought an offering. It's already been given. Praise God. He supplies all we need. Amen. And it says to do no regular work. Another scripture that tells us about the unleavened bread is Exodus 12, 15 to 20. You know, I know you know these scriptures of this feast day, but there are going to be people that are going to receive this CD that may not know them. So we need to go over them because it's important to know where we're at and what God's doing. Amen. Exodus 12, 15 through 20. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. Okay, yeast represents sin, by the way. Leaven represents sin or yeast. Anything that rises. I'll get into that in a little bit. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh day must be cut off from Israel. And that, my folks, my friends, is the worst curse, is to be cut off. Let's continue. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. And I know we're going to do that, ain't we? We all love food. But you know what? Man does not live by bread alone, by every word proceeds from the mouth of God. It's more important to receive Yeshua and His word than man's, you know, a lot of men, God is their stomach, the Bible says. And I need to make my stomach a little smaller. I need to have less of me and more of Him. He gives me life, and I thank God for it. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it is on this day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Now, Egypt also represents sin. It's a place of bondage. Sin is bondage. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. We must eat bread to live a holy life. What God is saying here is that, you know, this is the only way that you can live. You must take in Yeshua. Amen. Twice in the last scripture I just read said you would be cut off from the community of Israel. Sin separates you from God and from the people of God. And that's not good. It says, you know, in the word, remember to assemble yourselves together, even more so as you see the day approaching. That day could be today. He is a soon coming king. It's imminent when He is to come. And we just heard, we don't know what we prayed about, but I felt a heaviness for Israel myself in the worship. And as it goes with Israel, so it goes with us.
Amen,
brother. We are Israel. We are the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
Grafted in by His grace and mercy. Because to be severed from the vine, who is Christ, Yeshua, or God, and His sustaining life means you will die. Being separated from God, you will die. Just like Pastor explained during the first day of Unleavened Bread about the vine, how if you're cut off and you're laying there, you might look pretty for a while, but you're going to turn brown and you're going to turn ugly and you're going to die.
Amen, brother.
Yeshua, God is our umbilical cord that is never to be severed. He is the source of life, source of all good things, come down from Him. The Father of heavenly lights, of which there is no turning. We do all kinds of turning and falling away and everything else, and God in His mercy helps us get through. I like how it's worded in the next scripture. Turn to Exodus 13. Exodus 13. There's a lot of scriptures talks about unleavened bread. We're going to read verses 3 through 7. This is Moses speaking. Exodus 13, verses 3 through 7. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's not just a sacred assembly. It's an exciting hallelujah, I'm free celebration. Amen? This is not a day of doom and gloom. I tell you, if you're in the world and you don't know God, it is a day of doom and gloom. But if you know Him, we ought to be the most joyous people that ever lived. Because our God is stronger than anything. He's got some good things coming down. Amen. Literally. Hallelujah. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you. Ooh. Not even seen among you. You know, because if you let it be seen around you, that's a bad witness, isn't it?
Amen.
Nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. These are areas that you have control over, your house, your yard, really it's not yours, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, we are only temporary stewards of everything God gives us. We're a life on loan, as Kelly said yesterday. We're life on loan. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And He's taken us through, and He's coming. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. You know, unleavened bread represents Yeshua. You are to have the bread of life on your lips these 7 days, taking in the word of God. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. So it's not just a one-time thing. Well, I went last year. I just don't have time this year. No, that ain't the way it works. When you live for God, you live for Him in totality. We sung songs before we started, and they all talked about giving your total, giving your all. We were created to praise and worship God. We are only sustained or made alive by the Word. God is the Word. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. You know, our God is the bread of life. John 6:35. I'll give you time to go there. John 6:35. These are Jesus' words. He tells you who He is. John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Right there tells you that He fulfills that gap, that void in our lives that only He can fill. I know a lot of men that have a lot of money and there's still an empty void in their life because they don't serve God. They're not sure why they're not happy. I thought when I got this much money, I'd be happy. Well, then if I got that girl, I'd be happy. Well, then if I got that Maserati, I'd be happy. Well, it never happened. You know, you have it for a few days and the newness of it wears off. Yeah, he should have got the horse. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody wants something, don't they? Hallelujah. When we take in Yeshua's body, the bread, we are sustained. John 6:51. Let's go there on to verse 51 of that same chapter. John 6:51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. Hallelujah. Now that's sustaining. We're talking forever, folks.
Come on, yeah.
Now that's sustaining.
Hallelujah.
This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He gave Himself and to set an example that we are to give of ourself. John 6:48 says it real clear. I am the bread of life, period. I am the bread of life. John 6:48. You know, Yeshua as the bread, or as the Word, which is Torah, the law, are all interchangeable. You know, you say Yeshua is the bread, bread is Yeshua, Yeshua is the word is Yeshua, the word is the Torah is Yeshua. You can just, they're all interchangeable. This is the seventh day of unleavened bread. Seven is the most significant number in the Bible, followed by number 12, then number 3 and 4. Multiples of seven represent a lifespan. If you seek Him your entire life, He will take you to be with Himself, whether by death or by rescue. Hallelujah. Remember what I read on page 1 of Isaiah 46, 4. It said, "Even to your old age and gray hairs I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." That carries us all the way to the end. That's His sustaining power, not ours. Hallelujah. The number 7 is the number of completion or perfection. This is a holy day that falls on the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We are to bring an offering to God. Everything in God's Word is symbolic and serves a purpose. Our God is a God of order. Nothing in the Word is random or insignificant. We hungry hearts continue to search deep for the hidden treasures of God because we want Him. We know there is always more. His ways are unsearchable. Pursuing God in order to know Him and have a relationship with Him is the essence of our faith. Pursuing God in order to know Him and have a relationship with Him is the very essence of our faith. It is by His Spirit that the revelation of the order of things and their significance, such as the holy days, start to fall into place. Leaven, or yeast, represents sin. Yeshua lived out a sinless life, therefore He was unleavened, without sin or a self-puffing up, which is pride. I tell you what, there's a lot of pride in this world, and you have to be broken. God will continue to break us, continue to prune us, as Pastor pointed out, and as He shears us, it hurts. But in the end, we end up being more fruitful. You know, He talked about if He doesn't prune us, the vine will just, it'll get real pretty, it'll stay green, but there's no fruit. So you got this real pretty vine with nothing to offer. And some people are just satisfied with the vine, but it's all about the fruit, folks. It's all about the fruit, the results of why we do what we do, why we live holy. Hallelujah. Where was I? I lost my place. I'll find it, though. Hallelujah. We're going to go to Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. You know, Yeshua suffered all the things that we suffer in this life, only He suffered it much more to a greater extent. It was magnified within 3 years of His life. It took, you know, there was a lot of preparation. And there's a lot of preparation for the season of Passover. And praise God, some of us were prepared to enter in to receive. And great things happen when we prepare to meet our God who has set a date with us to be there. He invited us to supper. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, it was awesome. Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." You know, some people think that, well, God lived a sinless life. He showed us. He fulfilled it. Therefore, we don't have to. That's like a boy who has a dad who's a race car driver, and he wins every trophy there is and everything and gets his son what he needs to follow in his footsteps, to be a winner and to excel. And the boy says, "Well, I'm wearing the coat and I'm a race car driver. Of course, I don't ever get in a car. I don't have to win any races because my dad won them all." Well, he has no crown. He has no reward. He has no... Where is he going? I mean, He's not really a race car driver, is he?
No.
Well, if you claim to be a Christian and you never do the things that your father showed you so that you could do them.
Yeah, tell that.
So, come on. I try to bring it in a regular down-to-earth language. We are to clean our houses of leaven, which is sin or yeast. In the physical place of residence, it is called spring cleaning, you know, around our house. That's where spring cleaning came from, of course. In our spiritual house, our soul is called teshuvah, or repentance, a turning from sin, getting sin out and seeking God's face. It really is summed up in these nine words: out with the bad and in with the good. Out with the bad and in with the good. That's what it's all about. Emptying ourselves and receiving all that God has for us. Only God is good. So, out with the bad and in with the good. Only God is good. God will not tolerate sin in His presence. If there is, we will not experience the fullness of His presence, which is what we're after. Turn to Psalm 16, please. I happen to have a New King James Version on this one, but it follows pretty close. Psalm 16:11. God shows us the way. He is the way. Amen? His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's another psalm, I believe. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Hallelujah. So in His presence is where we get the joy, and that joy is our strength, is our sustaining power. So the people that don't want to worship God in His presence, you know, you're not sustaining yourself totally. And at the end words, Nehemiah 8:10, let's go there. Nehemiah 8:10. I'm going to read the last eight words, I believe it is, of Nehemiah 8:10. Says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." That's Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's how you know Him. It is living daily a holy lifestyle and being a God-fearer and spending time in His presence. We are not to have sin in our hearts, not to have sin in our homes, or in the church. Uh-oh. You know, the devil is in the church, unfortunately, because he's already got the people in the bars and people that are living for him and not giving him any trouble. He's coming against the people of God. That's his plan. Let's look at sin in the church. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. First Corinthians 5, we're going to read 1 through 13. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. Shouldn't we look different than the world, people? A man has his father's wife and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? You know, there is too much tolerance for sin in all the churches. We are condoning what God has condemned. We are condoning what God has condemned. Where is the fear of God? Many claim that grace and love of God so they can just keep on sinning. That's called sloppy grace. Let's go on to verse 3. "Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan so that the sinful nature, or that is his body, or that the flesh, may be destroyed and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. You know, people try to rationalize why it's okay to have some sin in the church. Well, these are a new day. God's is a new age. God is understanding. He loves us. It's okay because 97 other brothers of the 100 are doing the same thing. Well, no, it doesn't make it right. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? You don't have to tell that to these bread cooks down here. When you have bad stuff inside of good stuff, it turns the rest bad. I work at Kroger's. If they have a bad apple, they take that sucker out fast because it will ruin the batch of good apples. And, you know, we're not perfect, though. We're going to get into that. And it tells us not to judge, lest we be judged. But there are times when God tells us we can judge. Amen? Which I'm going into right now. Get rid of the old yeast that you may be a new batch without yeast. Hallelujah. We're a new batch this week. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As you really are. It tells you right there, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival. Not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. I love that verse. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother. That's someone who's in your congregation, folks, and claims to be a brother, but is sexually immoral, greedy, an adulterer, or slanderer, or drunkard, or a swindler. You know, it says, he's not telling us to not associate with the people on the outside. You know, I probably shouldn't have not. I deal with people that I know have sin in their lives, are living an ungodly lifestyle. But that's just there. We are surrounded by sin, unfortunately. We are people of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. It's all by grace, and if it weren't for God's grace, I'd still be a drunk right now.
Amen.
So I'm not going to point fingers at people, because it took me 58 years to come into this truth that Lord has called me that long. And eventually His Spirit will bring you into all truth, because it says the Holy Spirit brings you into all truth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But it's not me and the people of this world, you know. That's unusual that says that, I thought. But it's talking about, do not, you know, with such a man, do not even eat. We're in the church now, the people that are not living right. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. There are ways in the Bible that describes how to expel someone from the fellowship if they're not doing right. It's not just one person. It takes two. It takes witnesses, and it takes approaching that person, and it takes prayer, preparational prayer. It takes a lot of things. Remember the theory of disagreement, though. If you truly love and claim you truly love something, you must hate its opposite. We must hate sin. We must. Turn to 1 John 5, please. 1 John 5. We're going to read 18 through 21. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Right there. It tells you you can't keep on sinning. You do not have to sin to prove the grace of God. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep out of sin. You cannot continue to sin. This is the time when we are to be on the offense against the powers of darkness in our own lives and in the church. This is a time of cleaning, renewing, recharging, rededicating ourselves to Yeshua. His favor destroys the enemy totally. We just came from a glorious Passover and are now into a joyous day of unleavened bread. God's glory was revealed in 7 baptisms, hallelujah, which we just passed out the certificates, and several infillings of the Holy Spirit. Woo, glory. I see some smiles and hands going up, and people going, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. He's the one that does it all. Our homes and our body, our temples, were consecrated to God and filled with His glorious presence, cleansing us from all unrighteousness and creating us as a new batch without yeast. Whew. How much of Him have you taken in this week? Have you eaten leavened bread every day, as it says? I tell you what, Gene makes some really good unleavened bread lately. I tell you what. In fact, we're thinking about keeping it as a regular staple for us. Hallelujah. Right now, this day, we should be ready and right to do spiritual warfare because our strength in Him is at its apex or at its peak. Turn to, I don't have it written down. I want to say it though right here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Wasn't that it, Gene, on the way up? 16. 16. Second Corinthians 3. I had it memorized, but I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to read it. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's not it. Gene, what was the scripture we read on the way up here? 2 Corinthians 5. It was in 5, folks. I just told. Praise the Lord, I know I knew it, but I'll have to come back to that. God's going to give it to me. 2 Corinthians 5, I think it is. Somewhere. What I was going to read is that His glory is ongoing from glory to glory. It's talking about sustaining power. Gene, maybe Gene, you can help me find that. When you got it, make a little, give me a little wave of the hand there. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Hallelujah. God is in us. We have that power to overcome sin, to overtake sin. Hallelujah. And it's by His ongoing daily power that we can do that. He is great in us. He's greater than the devil. The devil, we talk about the devil too much. We give him too much credit. By the way, he's not the king of anything.
Come on, tell it, brother.
He doesn't have a kingdom anywhere. We've given him dominion. You know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So how can the earth be the Lord's? I mean, the devil's. That's what everybody says. No, we've given him dominion. We have not taken our place. We have not been filled enough with Yeshua, taken Him in to defeat the enemy, to have favor, to have protection, and to be sustained. Amen? And then we have Romans 8:31. Let's go there at Romans 8:31. God's on our side. God is on our side. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" When you know God is omnipotent, that means all powerful, then who are you worrying about? If you're in God's protection, under His wing, under His covering, then you don't need to worry about anything. But we need to daily to take God in. You know, He taught us. Do you have that scripture on? What is it? I take it back. 2 Corinthians 3. It was, all right, it was 3. All right, we're going to read 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 11. Hallelujah. "Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of his glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts?" Hallelujah. I don't see glory to glory in there, but there's another scripture, and that's a good one. That's right there, tells you also the same thing I was talking about. Hallelujah. I should have kept going where Pastor was and kept going down to 18. "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory." Some translations say from glory to glory, but it's ever-increasing. It comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If we stay in the walk with God, it's going to become brighter and brighter. He leads us into all truth. We have the truth, but if we stay in it, He'll reveal even more. So we need to keep looking to God, keep going to God, and not let the devil talk us into slowing down or stopping. God will sustain us. He will keep us going in the right direction, which is always toward Him, which is always a good thing. Hallelujah. You know, and the Our Father, which is in Matthew 6:11, are these words, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's in Matthew 6:11. You know, it talks about daily in a lot of places in the Bible. We must be filled daily. We cannot be sustained by waiting long periods between spiritual experiences.
Come on, tell it.
We must have a fresh word. It's called a rhema word. It's a today word, you know.
Amen.
I don't like to eat. Have you ever seen stale bread, old bread, or stinky bread, or moldy bread?
Come on, yeah.
I'm telling you what, you don't want to eat it. But there are people that live on that because they're living in the past. Yeah, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. 47 years ago? And someday I'll be filled again because I got it. No. You continue to be filled. It's a rhema word. It's new. It's fresh. God's mercies are new every morning.
Come on, tell it.
Hallelujah. You know, if things are alive, they keep moving, they keep living, they get larger, they get brighter, they get better. And our Lord Yeshua just gets gooder and gooder. May not be perfect English, Raina, but it's true. God is just getting better and better all the time. The closer I get to Him, the better He looks, I'm telling you. God puts, I didn't finish here. I got all these scribbles in the thing here. Paul said, "I die daily." What does that mean? That means he's submitted to God. He knows that he's dead without God. And he dies of self and is alive unto God. It's just like that moment you come out of baptism, the waters of baptism. You know you are dead to sin and alive unto Yeshua. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We can't be like a gas tank, you know, where we fill up and say, "Well, that'll last me probably 8 days maybe, you know." So, no, we need God's Word. We need God's sustaining power every day of our life. He is our life. Without Him, we're dead. Dead in the water. As it was. Let's turn to Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3, we're going to read 7 through 18. This is a warning against unbelief. You know, you must have faith. Okay, here we are. So as the Holy Spirit says, this is Hebrews 3, 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation and said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first, as has just been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter their rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they are not able to enter because of their unbelief. You cannot enter into God's presence with unbelief, and fear. Fear is a manifestation of unbelief. We can be faithful and fearless.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God does that for us. All right. Now where was I? God puts checks and balances in the holy days to remind us who we are in Him, to keep us and sustain us in the way. It's capital T, the, and the way, capital W. There is a way that we live, and it's found in Acts several times. Look it up in your computers or whatever. It's called the way. We are people of the way. God not only sustains us, He continually intercedes for us to the Father when we can't get it right. Obedience and faith always take precedence over ritual, however. Obedience and faith always take precedence over ritual. It is a matter of the attitude of the heart. There is an example of intercession, favor, and grace and mercy in the Word that I want to show you. That God showed me this. And there's a reason He showed me this. It's because it totally applies to the church in Corinth, for sure. And I'm sure to a degree here, too. Turn to 2 Chronicles 30, please. 2 Chronicles 30. We're going to read 18 through 27. Second Chronicles 30. 18 through 27. Hallelujah. Although most of the many people who came from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover contrary to what was written. We can't, you know, you've seen in the Bible all the time, it is written. It is written. It is written. Folks, when it's written, that's it. When God puts it down, that's it. We can't, we have to go by the word of God. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the Lord, who is good, pardon everyone who sets his heart on seeking God, the Lord, the God of his fathers, even if he is not clean, according to the rules of the sanctuary." And the Lord heard Hezekiah and healed the people. You know, it's a heart thing. We all know that. If you set your heart totally to follow God, you will find yourself in the holy days. You will not be missing a holy day. You will make sure you're not confused. God is not the God of confusion. We have told you we use the Hebrew Bible, Jewish Bible. We've handed out the holy day calendars. And it's the devil is all it is there, and there's confusion, and there should not be. It's not a hard thing. God is really the... But see, Gene and I were praying on the way up here. We were trying to intercede. Hezekiah was a type of Yeshua who intercedes to the Father for our stupidity, basically, for our rebellion. And we had to intercede for some that find themselves not here with us on this high holy day at the last day of unleavened bread. And I know they didn't mean to. And I've missed holy days. I missed 58 years of it. So you think I'm going to be pointing fingers? I doubt it. I doubt it. The Israelites who were present in Jerusalem celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days with great rejoicing. This is a time to really celebrate. God has taken sin from us, given us the sustaining power of the Holy Ghost to keep us, and to not just keep us now, but tomorrow and daily, and until He comes back in the rescue. Hallelujah. For 7 days of great rejoicing, while the Levites and priests sang to the Lord every day, accompanied by the Lord's instruments of praise. Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites, who showed good understanding of the service of the Lord. You know, we have to continue to understand the law of God and continue to look into the Word to make sure we don't get confused. And it's a battle. I mean, you know, but don't give up. God's going to give you the power. He's going to bring that light to help you. For the 7 days they ate their assigned portion and offered fellowship offerings and praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. The whole assembly then agreed to celebrate the festival 7 more days.
Hallelujah.
They were having so much fun, they just said, "Let's just keep going." I mean, they were rejoicing knowing the freedom in God. Read the book, Hungry Hearts, Freedom Under God's Law. That's what real freedom is. People look at us and think that we're in bondage with this faith that we're in. And really, they're the ones that are in bondage. Because we're not under the law. We keep the law. You know? Hallelujah. I like it too, brother. Praise the Lord. Hezekiah, king of Judah, provided 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep and goats for the assembly. And the officials provided them with 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep and goats. Don't tell me God doesn't provide things for us. This is coming from people of God.
Come on.
You know, I told you before, you'll never see God's people begging bread.
Amen.
That was in the last message I made. A great number of priests consecrated themselves. The entire assembly of Judah rejoiced along with the priests and Levites and all who had assembled from Israel, including the aliens who had come from Israel and those who lived in Judah. There was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the days of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. The priests and the Levites stood to bless the people, and God heard them, for their prayer reached heaven, His holy dwelling place. God likes to see His people know who they are in Him and rejoicing. You know, He seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He is looking for us, and He rejoices with us. I know God, you know, it tells us in the Word to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those that mourn. I know when we're free and we're really worshiping God, God is just doing it right alongside of us, right along with us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember what I read earlier in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians about Yeshua being the bread of sincerity and truth. If you are sincere and seeking Yeshua, who is the bread of sincerity and truth, then the Lord Himself will help you. If you walk it out, He will work it out for you. You do not have to sin to prove God's grace. Sin brings death. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I have down here verses 6. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. See what I mean here. All right, 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 10. Let's look at 10:13. Let's set that. I had it written down in my margin. All right, this is talking about God makes a way out of us to escape. We can escape from sin because in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it." God gives us the ability to have victory, to be overcomers over sin. Hallelujah. If you go on and read verse 9, let's go back to 9. "We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes, and do not grumble as some of them did who were killed by the destroying angel." Wait, in verse 8, "We should not commit sexual immorality as some did, and in one day 23,000 of them died." I'm sorry I'm kind of bouncing around there, but it's all in 1 Corinthians 10. What is it saying in verse 8, 9, 10 is that, hey, sin results in death.
Amen.
It will kill you. So you should not want it. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, is death. That is the only way. Whenever the disciples spent time with Yeshua or witnessed things while with Yeshua, they came away extremely bold. Turn to Acts 4. Acts 4. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled or ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. This kind of supports the saying, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's especially true. To know the Lord is who to know. Amen. Proverbs 28:1. Turn there. Proverbs 28:1. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The wicked man flees though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." It tells us right there that we can be a type and shadow of the Lion of Judah. We can be bold. We can raise our head and say, "You talking to me?" You know? You ever been there? I mean, when the Lord moves, look out. Get out of the way, because He will clean house. Psalm 138:3, let's go there. Back to Psalm 138. Not far away. Psalm 138:3. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Stout-hearted. Hallelujah. We're not only hungry hearts, we're stout-hearted. We're strong in our hearts because our heart attitude is right. Hallelujah. God sustains us from glory to glory. The path becomes brighter if we stay on it. Then we will experience the brightest, true light, to forever be with our Lord. Let's praise Yeshua right now and lead the army with praise, with his banner ahead of us and over us. Amen. Let's thank him for getting us out of sin, out of Egypt. Let's praise him for providing the way of escape. Hallelujah, when there seemed to be no way of escape. Let's bless him for his favor towards us that defeats our enemies. Let's worship him for his sustaining power that is in us. Hallelujah. You know, we could probably turn the praise music back on or go another 7 days. Go ahead.